Now, as I move down here to verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now, that is, again, the same word that we had before that was translated testing. Or it's called trying in our King James here. I'm using the New Scofield, and I think they've made a very nice distinction here. Diverse temptations or testing or temptation is a good word if you understand it in a good sense, as we're going to see. If not today, we will see it next time. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, this is God's method of developing you and me in the Christian faith. This is the way that he's going to enable us to grow, and he wants to produce patience in our lives. We've already seen that. But now he has something for the future. This matter of testing presents a program for the future. Testing of any sort, I don't care what it is, especially though if it's severe, a calamity or tragedy, it has a tendency of producing a miasma of pessimism and hopelessness. And that was the case of this letter that I read. I don't blame that man for feeling like that at all. Why? But God was doing it for a very definite reason. He had a purpose in it all. Now, the man of the world will sink beneath the waves of adversity. Even life at its best makes him pessimistic. How many pessimists there are today? How many cynics are there today? How many that are filled with bitterness and that have everything? We've seen an epidemic of suicide among teenagers in the past few years. We see them dropping out of society, and today there are thousands of young people that have dropped out of society. And why? Well, they have no goal in life. The commentator during that period when it was at its worst, and he was one of the sensible ones, probably I should say one of the few sensible ones, said that back during the Depression, people had a will to live, and there was very few suicides. But today, everything that's been given to them, they want to die. Now, when faith is tested and surrounded by darkness and the waves are rolling high and all seems lost, the child of God knows that this is not the end. It may be gloom now, but glory later on. The psalmist says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And now he says here that he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And I have noticed that people that suffer a great deal have been brought into a loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been expressed like this. So much has been written on this. And let me read this. Is there no other way, O God, except through sorrow, pain, and loss, to stamp Christ's likeness on my soul, no other way except the cross? And then a voice stills all my soul, as still the waves of Galilee. Canst thou not bear the furnished heat? If midst the flames I walk with thee, I bore the cross, I know its weight, I drank the cup I hold for thee. Canst thou not follow where I lead? I'll give thee strength, lean hard on me. You see, it brings an individual into a loving relationship with Christ and causes him to look forward to that day when he's going to be brought in his presence, and he has something, very frankly, friends, to look forward to. The fact that the Lord Jesus is going to give him a crown of life. Now, let's look at that for just a moment. What is a crown of life? Well, there are many crowns that are mentioned in the Scripture that are given as rewards to believers. It's not salvation. But a crown represents a reward. It's something that is given to an individual. We had an unknown boy in California, that won, what, 5 or 6 gold medals at the Olympics in Germany. I understand he has a movie contract and all of that. Well, Christian friend, he has a reward for those that will endure down here. He says they'll receive a crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. And that is what the testing does. It'll either drive you to the Lord or drive you away from him. So many Christians become bitter. And my friend, it's not going to be a pleasant experience someday to come in the presence of Christ, of letting the very thing that a loving Heavenly Father was doing to you to develop your character and to bring you into a loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that today, these things are happening, but there's going to be a crown of life. Now, somebody says, what is a crown of life? I don't know what a crown of life is. I've never seen one. And I've read a great deal on these crowns. I sometimes wonder where some of the writers get all their information. But let me give you just my very simple interpretation of what I think the crown of life is. We have found out that there are different kinds of punishment for the lost. Some will receive so many stripes, some others will receive more stripes. There are degrees of punishment for the lost. There are degrees of rewards to believers. I do not expect to receive the reward that a man like Paul the Apostle or Martin Luther, John Wesley received. I don't expect to receive a reward like they will. But I do hope that I can come in for something. And I'm very much interested about that. And I think a crown of life is that which brings you into a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus than anything else possibly could be. You remember in Revelation, he talks about he's going to give a stone to each one with a name written on it. And we have assumed that that means he's going to give to each one of us a new name. And I hate to ruin a good number that a quartet sings today. They sing, there's a new name written down in glory. Well, may I say that it's not the new name that's your name that's written down in glory. You've been given a new nature. But as best I can tell, the new name there means that he's going to give you a stone on which there is a name written of Christ that applies to you. For you, he means something a little special than he'll mean to somebody else. In other words, the Lord Jesus means something to you that he does not mean to me. And he means something to me that he does not mean to you. I remember a time in my life as a young fella that I stood at the crossroads at a conference deciding whether I'd go into ministry or not, or I'd continue to follow a life really a sin. And there was a girl at that conference that I tell you I was very much interested in, and she was not really what you'd call conference material by any means. And I never shall forget that night, yonder in Middle Tennessee, crawling up in under a water maple with its leaves just thick, and in the shade there, because the moon was shining bright, I got down on my face that night and told the Lord Jesus that I needed his help and strength to make a decision. Now, he means something to me, I'm sure, that he does not mean to you. You probably have another precious moment in your life, and that new name is going to be that. And I think the crown of life means that you're going to have a degree of life in heaven that somebody else will not have. There are a lot of folk that have gone through this world and have done nothing for God. Thank God there's one thief there on the cross that turned to Christ, but I can't imagine him getting very much of a reward. And when I put him down to a man like Paul the Apostle, and I can imagine what it's going to be someday when Paul comes up there. Just think what it's going to be, a crown of life. And Paul was very much interested in it. And James is interested in it here too, by the way, that there'll be a crown of life. And you can't receive that crown of life until you've been out on the race course of life today. And if you forgive me, get right down where the nitty-gritty is, right down where the rubber meets the road, right down there where life is being lived out. And my friend, if you can live for God down there, He's got a crown of life for you someday. And that's something to look forward to, by the way. Always think of that black deacon. He got up at a testimony meeting. They were being asked for their favorite verses. He got up and says, "My favorite verse is, 'It came to pass.'" And the minister looked in amazement, and the people were puzzled. And finally, the pastor said to him, says, "Brother so-and-so, what do you mean when you say it came to pass?" "Well," he says, "when I have trouble and I have trials," he says, "I just go to the Lord and praise Him and say, 'I thank you, Lord. It came to pass. It didn't come to stay.'" Thank God for that, friends. And I don't know a better way of putting it than that. The trouble hasn't come to stay. And he used the same argument in warning the rich here. You're like the grass, the flower of the grass. It may look pretty for you today. Life may be beautiful for you. And you may have a good day. But my friend, the flower's withering. And your riches won't deliver you. Someday you'll stand before Jesus Christ. Every human being is to stand before Him. Some at the great white throne, but thank God there'll be a group called the church to go before Him beforehand to the bema of Christ to see whether they receive a crown of life. Don't know about you, I'd like to have that crown. And He offers that crown to those.